Welcome, welcome everybody to another episode of Brain Turds. I'm Monkey Arms.
And I'm T-Rex.
T-Rex, how you doing, man? Are you still hanging in there in quarantine? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm trying to keep myself occupied, doing things. You know, I kind of started, I started a new hobby, but I tried something new. You know, did a few little old things and just kind of keeping myself going. How you been doing?
Not too bad, but before I get into me, I'm curious about these new hobbies, because you have enlightened us on this show with your bush hog and auger and I don't know whatever else kind of weird country shit you got going on. So what's this new hobby that quarantine got you into?
I'm an unemployed bum right now, so I
that's all of us. That's okay. We're being responsible adults is what we're being.
Yeah, I guess I could say that. I'm being a responsible adult by sitting around doing nothing. And I was watching, you know how you get into watching the YouTube videos and stuff?
Oh,
and
yes.
It's kind of like it sucks you in. And
I've been a YouTube junkie lately. I understand.
Yeah, so you start off watching something, and then next thing you know, you're like, what? How did I even get here? I don't even remember what I clicked on to start off with. And I ran across this thing called hydro dipping. And, it's actually pretty cool. It doesn't take a whole lot to do it. You don't have to be super smart, which is why I thought it would be cool for me to try.
Hey, and what is it we always say on this show? We say, if Mark can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hydro dipping. You brought it up to me. You text me something about this a week or so ago, and I was not familiar with the term hydro dipping, but I was familiar with what it is, because I actually saw people do this with military helmets and whatnot. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about what it is. Maybe somebody else out there would like to do it.
Well, basically, you just want to get yourself a bucket. I mean, it can be pretty much any size. Get you some spray paint. And now it can be, from what I've read and what I've seen, it can be pretty much any kind of spray paint. And you spray the top of the water and you get you a nice thick, basically film over the top of the water. And you take, like I took a cup and I dipped it in there and pull it back. Now, before you pull it back out, you want to swipe the water so that the extra paint doesn't get on the item. And then you just pull it back up and the paint sticks to this item, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. I did a couple of glass jars. I did a trash can. Like, I started hydro dipping anything I could really get my hands on. And so, yeah, it's pretty easy. It's pretty fun. It's an interesting thing to at least kind of occupy you for a little while.
I mean, it sounds simple enough. You take a bucket, you fill it with water, you spray some paint on top, and then you dip stuff. I mean, like I said, if Mark can do it, we all can do it. So that sounds pretty cool. Maybe if you don't mind, we can put up a picture on the Twitter page and kind of show one of your pieces of work.
Yeah. Remind me, and I'll at the end of this, we'll have to put a piece of my artwork up.
Official T-Rex art, guys. This is great. I love it.
Yeah, and you don't want to see, like, I can't get a real deep bucket because I don't have the long arm, so I can't dip it. Can't Touché. Dip down real deep, so it has to be a shallow bucket for me.
like a cookie sheet or something. You're like dipping thimbles is what you're dipping in a cookie sheet. I get it. No, that's cool. That's what I like. That's what I like out of this quarantine thing, is I like people getting new hobbies and doing new things and staying active. There's good news out there, people. There's good news out there. You just got to look for it. I love it.
Yeah, there's things you can do. You know, even the hillbilly came out of me the other day, and I went out and, you know, I got out the old chainsaw and I got out the mole and I started cutting and splitting wood. And then, you know, I texted you the other day that I was outside all day with my brother came over and he brought a buddy and we went out back and started shooting our guns.
Oh my goodness. you say the country redneck came out of you. I think you are the country redneck. It's not coming out of you. You know, I was thinking about this after we had our little texting conversation, and you told me that you were shooting your handgun in you have a lot of land. You're way out in the country, so it's okay for you to do that. You built yourself a little shooting range. But I was thinking after that, I was like, man, him and I, there was a time when we were both living in apartment complexes in in our small little city. And that right there is its own way of life. And then we both went in complete opposite directions. You went to this little podunk, little hillbilly redneck piece of town. You can't even say town. What do you even call it? A township or something? Some kind of little...
I mean, I guess I would call it just a town. It's, I mean, it's definitely not a city. It's barely a town.
It's barely, you drive through it. If you sneeze, you've missed it. Your eyes close that quick, you've missed it. And then I went in the complete opposite direction. I moved all the way to New York, and I feel like we have become where we live. Like, you are definitely, you're full on redneck, baling hay, digging holes with augers, shooting guns. I mean, we've embraced where we live. That's great, right?
I think that's, yeah. I mean, well, you've got different things that can you can go out and do that keeps you occupied. And, you know, out here where I'm at, I'm not close to anything. So I do what I can out here to, you know, keep myself occupied, keep myself going, you know, give me a reason to get up and do things every day. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, like you said, we both lived in an apartment, and let's face it, neither one of us enjoyed that. I mean,
it
did the job, but, you know, it kept the roof over our heads, but that was basically about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were rough times. Okay. We were just talking about some good news stuff. I want to say real quick, I found something on the Good News Network, my good buddy Mark here, and I just knew you would love this as much as I did. You and I, a couple episodes ago, and it's still on our podcasting page, so if you go to brainturds.podomatic.com or any one of the podcasting apps, you can still find this episode. It was our Rocky episode. Now, I'm bringing that up because you and I are such huge Rocky fans, so when I saw this story on the Good News Network, I had to share it on the podcast, and it is that these Massachusetts hospitals are drawing inspiration from the Rocky movies, all right? So what they're doing is they're using the Rocky theme song to empower their patients that recover from COVID-19. So basically, whenever a patient has been successfully treated for the coronavirus, they declare what's called a code Rocky over the intercom of these hospitals. And then they... all the available staff members come into the hallways and everything, and they're wheeling out the patient that is recovered, that's being discharged from having coronavirus, and they're all cheering them on, and they're all playing the Rocky music and over the intercom. And I just think that's awesome, because there's no better song for that, right?
Yeah.
The Rocky theme, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's a great idea. I mean, hell, you talk about, yeah, because they just went through the fight of their life or to fight for their life, honestly. So, yeah, that's a pretty badass thing to do. Kind of keeps you, you know, gets you motivated, gets you going, get your ass out of the hospital. That's awesome.
Right. And nobody has a bigger heart than Rocky. Nobody has more heart than Rocky. And I would say anybody that's going in there, if you're hospitalized because of coronavirus, you're pretty damn sick. All right. You are sick. And I think to get through something like that, you got to have a lot of heart. So I think that's a perfect song. I love it. I can hear it now.
Oh, and that's what's crazy. I mean, you think about that. You go into the hospital, and especially when this all started, the first thing everybody thought was basically, you know, you're a goner. You know, you're going into the hospital. You're not going to see anybody again. And you're basically going to go into the hospital and die alone. And which has got to be one of the scariest things ever. You don't just die. You just suffer till you,
well,
by yourself.
And like you said, you said die alone. And that's literally what it would be, because they're not allowing any family members or anything in there. They were interviewing a lot of nurses and stuff during that Global Citizens Together at Home concert. I don't know if you watched much of that. We talked about it on the last episode, but there was a lot of thanking the healthcare heroes and everything. And there was a lot of nurses that was talking about how they're interacting with these patients, and the families of the patients are relying on them to be there emotionally and medically for their loved ones. I mean, going in and holding their hand and just being with them. I mean, otherwise, all these people can do is hold up a phone and have video Skype sessions with them, because they don't have anybody there. So you saying fear of dying alone is 100% true.
Yeah, that's what I said. That I don't know if there could be a worse way to go. You just suffer by yourself. I mean, man, you know, like I said, they let you Skype or whatever, but you know, and I know that's it's better than nothing, but it still sucks.
Well, especially since now we're all living in the time of digital socializing. It is. It's fantastic we have it, but no, it's definitely not the same. It is not the same at all. And it definitely takes some getting used to, but it is better than nothing. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that has frustrated me about this whole situation is most people, I take that back. I don't want to say most people, but there are people out there who are calling this thing a hoax. They're calling the coronavirus just a big hoax because they're saying news media and stuff is saying the hospitals are getting overwhelmed and nurses are being run ragged. And yet there's a lot of hospitals that aren't seeing this apex. They aren't seeing a peak in COVID-19 patients. They're not being overwhelmed. Well, that's a good thing. Those hospitals that are not being overwhelmed. But I feel like I take personal offense when people are saying it's a hoax because I'm married to a nurse. I interact with the doctors and other nurses because I'm part of that world having been married into it. And one of my wife's coworkers just got deployed this week to a New York City hospital. It is real. I want to tell everybody it is real. There are hospitals that are overflowing with coronavirus patients. My wife has personally taken care of several coronavirus patients now and was potentially exposed to one at one time. Thank God she's okay. So it is real. It frustrates me when people think it's a hoax. It is not. And I just want to put that out there. It is real. And these people are dealing with a mess of cases in some hospitals.
Well, see, and that's what irritates me, right? Because there's a video now floating around on Facebook of a lady that I don't know, maybe she is, maybe she isn't a nurse. And she's, I can't remember. I think she's from somewhere in Washington State where she just got furloughed because they don't have basically any work for her. Well, you know what? That's right now. I know that sucks. But just because they don't have a lot of cases wherever she's working, like you said, it doesn't mean that this is a hoax. It is a big deal in certain areas. There's a lot more of them in New York than obviously anywhere else. And just because a small hospital or whatever somewhere else isn't seeing a lot of patients doesn't make this a hoax.
Exactly. And the places that don't take it seriously now will be the places that are severely impacted later. And the people who are going out there and saying it's a hoax, they could very well end up in the care of one of these nurses that is in the thick of it right now. So I just want to say, have respect for the healthcare workers. Don't diminish this by saying that it's a hoax, especially when I know people personally that are now being deployed to New York City hospitals. It's real and it's offensive when people say that it's a hoax. It is not a hoax just because it's not happening severely in your neck of the woods. Be happy that it is not severe in your neck of the woods because it certainly could be.
Well, I saw a video the other day where there was some nurses that were outside of their hospital, and I think it was in Denver, Colorado, where they were blocking traffic, and the lady was in a truck, and she's yelling at this guy that's this nurse that's standing out there, and she's talking about her freedom, and you know, that I understand that this quarantine sucks. Believe me, I don't think anybody is truly enjoying being stuck at home, but you know. Man, you've got to, like you just said, you got to respect the healthcare workers. You can't be yelling at them. They're doing their job. They're the ones that may be saving your dumb ass later.
Well, and I'm familiar with what you're talking about too, all of these protests and stuff that are going around. But I want to point out, and I want to remind people on this, to please don't be fooled by Fox News and Donald Trump and wherever else on TV you keep seeing these protesters taking to the streets against social distancing, because it's a small minority of Americans and their attitudes represent a fraction of public opinion. So there was a poll taken on pollsters that actually said that 81% of Americans are actually in agreement that people should continue to social distance for as long as is needed to curb the spread of coronavirus. 81% of Americans agree. That's an outstanding figure. Another NBC poll actually lowered the rate to 60%, which is still a solid number for a majority of people that are in agreement that the shutdown is necessary. That's a large majority of Democrats, Independents, Republicans. These people that are going out there and doing these protests and everything, the media makes it out to be a lot worse than what it is. Again, 60 to 80% of Americans are in agreement that the shutdown is good, that we need to flatten the curve and get through this. So I just don't want people to be sheep. when it comes to the media. Pay attention and get out there and find information and dig for the correct information. Don't go to Fox News. Don't go to Facebook and stuff like that and just assume that what you're being told is truth. Look into it a little bit is all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I don't watch the news because I don't like, to me, if you watch one news network, it's oh my God, it's an apocalypse, it's the end of the world, blah, blah, blah. And then the other one is basically telling you, you need to get back to work. We don't care. You know, well, you got that, the lieutenant governor from Texas that's out there saying, you know, he thinks the economy is worth more than people's lives. And look, I don't like being locked down like I am, but I also don't want to get sick and then wind up taking it to my mom who's in bad enough health and, you know, knocking her off. I don't want to be, you know. So we got to open up the country slowly, but I don't think now is the time.
Right. There's going to be levels to it. And we just have to accept that this is the lifestyle we live currently. And it's all going to happen in good time. It just has to be the right time.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Let's, you know, kind of lighten up the mood a little bit here.
Yes.
So,
yes. I was just getting ready to segue into the next bit. We had some fun. We had some fun this past weekend, man.
Yeah. I had fun for a few miles of it anyway. Not the entire time, but I had fun. Yeah.
So what we did, again, and this all ties in because this is related to the world and the lifestyle that we live now. We are both avid runners. We are very much into exercise and we are very much into half marathon running. We typically do a few of them a year, some anywhere from 2 to 4 of them a year. It depends. And so far, every one of our races, I think you've only signed up for one, two. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, all of our races have been either canceled or postponed due to the coronavirus and the fact that we all have to be socially distanced. So we were doing these things called virtual runs. Explain what that is.
Well, basically, I'll probably wind up getting this wrong, but basically you sign up for it. You find out whatever date that, you know, they give you. I've noticed, I have actually, not just the one we just did, but I've noticed like the Indy Mini that we're going to do. And I actually saw another one where they seem to give you a period of time. So you don't necessarily have to do it on that day. And you go out, you run your route, you map out a route, you run it. And then when you're done, now I thought we were going to have to submit some kind of proof, like a picture of our, you know, from Runkeeper. And I think that's a plug right there. But
Brain Turds brought to you by Runkeeper. That's not true.
Yeah. So if they want to send us some money, no. But
they don't want to be affiliated with this show, trust me.
Yeah, probably not.
But to your point, some races you do have to actually submit your course and your mileage, and some races go by honor system. The one that we did, I believe this was one of the first that they have ever done a virtual run. So They went more on the honor system. But I think the Indy Mini, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on it. Don't quote me on anything. I'm often wrong. I believe the Indy Mini, you do have to send in proof. Again, could be wrong. Sorry, continue.
Well, I was just going to say, and then you finally run your route and you put in your stuff. And that's what was kind of cool about the race that we just did. It was interesting because like me and you talked about how this is basically like if you finished a half marathon, they would just hold out a bag and go, okay, reach in and get a medal. And none of them are the same. That's what was kind of, it was kind of interesting to see like the medal that you got compared to the medal that I got.
Right.
And it's interesting because neither one of them say anything about the race that we really just ran.
No. So this one in particular, this is a little plug out there to Yellow Jacket Racing and Fleet Feet. In Rochester, New York, they were doing a spring clean race, and they had 5Ks, I think a 10K and a half marathon, and we chose to do the half marathon. So yeah, you map out whatever route you want to do for the appropriate distance that you're running. And so this particular one was cool. Yeah, because it was all randomized. It was just whatever leftover stuff they had, because all of their stuff got postponed as well. They got a bunch of stock and stuff setting around. So it was the perfect opportunity for it. And it was really cool. It was also a fun experience because we are so used to going to events, and we're talking about events with like usually a minimum of like 400 or 500 people, the Indy Mini, a couple thousand people. So you're running with all of that energy, all of those other runners. There's often bands and stuff and music being played on the sidelines of the course and people cheering you on. Well, now you strip all of that away. And we already feel like we're living in a whole nother planet because of the isolation and the social distancing. And now you strip all that of that away from what we're used to doing with runs. And you're out there in the middle of nowhere running next to cornfields. I'm in my town, but I'm running completely by myself, and you're isolated. And you know you've got to mentally get yourself ready to do 13.1 miles by yourself with no energy but what you've got in your own mind. And it's so weird. It's so weird. But that's what made this interesting to me, because it's something we'd never done before.
I thought it was really interesting because I didn't realize, I mean, I knew I had, but I didn't realize how much I kind of drew off of the other runners and the people standing on the sideline cheering. I didn't realize how much of that actually helps me keep going until you run one where there is nobody. I mean, it was kind of weird. Now, I also want to give a big shout out to my wife for running out and dropping off water for me in certain spots, because living out in the middle of nowhere,
there's no water stations. There's no water stations. There's no gel packet stations. For anybody who hasn't ran a half marathon, typically they have water stations set up like every 2 miles or so. And then by like mile six or seven, they start giving out these little gel energy packets and stuff like that. They also swap out between water and Gatorade, so you can keep your electrolytes up, and you can keep, sometimes they put extra salt in the Gatorade so you can get your sodium replenished. You don't have any of that when you do this on your own. So that is another obstacle that you have to cross, and you have to try and prepare. What do you want to carry on you? Do you want to set up your own little checkpoints like your wife generously did? It's so different. But yes, going into this race, I was very concerned about how much my abilities relied on the energy of the other runners and the crowd cheering you on. And it was definitely different, but it had its own little charm to it, I think.
Yeah, it was different. Now, like I said, we're going to have to do another one for the Indy Mini. And I think I'm going to be able to mentally prepare a little bit better. And I wasn't quite as physically prepared for this one as I should have been. But yeah, it's an interesting time when you do a virtual run like this. Now, it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely encourage anybody who's going through this quarantine who is typically someone who likes events or likes to get out and exercise on their own. This is something that's perfect for that. I am an avid runner. You are an avid runner. We have been training all winter long because we had a set amount of races that we were ready to do this year. And so far, we're not doing what we thought we were going to be doing, but this is a way for us to continue to stay in shape and hopefully be able to hit the second half of the year's races. Hopefully this social distancing thing will be lifted. I did think it was pretty cool. We did get a tweet from Fleet Feet in Rochester congratulating us both and saying that they were super glad that we were able to join them during this virtual race. And they actually said more coming, ... So maybe that means they're going to try and get a few more virtual races out there. So anybody who is interested, and you don't have to be in Rochester, New York to do this. You're in Indiana and you signed up for this race because that's what virtual means. This next race that we have in about a week and a half is set in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm going to run it up here because it's a virtual race. It's pretty cool. I like that. And thank you to Fleet Feet for giving us some congratulations.
Well, we signed up like the Wednesday before the race, and you got your stuff the day that we ran the race, and I got mine like 2 days later. So they're even pretty quick about getting your stuff.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I ran the race. I came home and showered. My mail came, and I was like, oh, shit. There's my medal. There's my stuff. So it was perfect timing. It was great.
Yeah, it was almost like you got to finish across the finish line and getting your medal right there almost. Yeah. Not that far off.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome. I really liked it. Another thing that I have been doing during this quarantine, because I'm super interesting right now in quarantine, as we all are. I went back, and your wife would laugh at me because she's a speed reader. She's crazy into books. I have read 4 books in 5 weeks. I'm proud of that. 4 books in 5 weeks.
I need to get off my lazy ass. I got a couple of books I'd like to read, but I just haven't been able to, I don't know, bring myself to pick one up. I don't know why, but for some reason, that has been the last thing on my mind.
Well, get into that. Get into it. And everybody that's out there on Twitter and everything, let us know. So, I mean, we're letting you know what we're doing. He's out there digging holes with an auger and pushing the bush hog, and we're getting some runs in. We're reading books. What are you guys doing in quarantine to help keep your mind off of stuff and help stay fit and active and functional? What are you guys doing? Tweet us and let us know.
Well, and I also want to give a big shout out to you for this virtual run that we just ran, because you did wind up having to listen to me complain for about an extra 20, 25 minutes after you finished. So kudos to you, because you could have just hung up on me at any time.
So let me clear that up. We do the virtual stuff together. We run together all the time. We do a phone call. We're 600 miles apart, much like we're podcasting right now, 600 miles apart. We do a phone call. And I was not going to leave you hanging, man. We are team shake and bake. We finish. We stick together and we finish.
I got to admit, I kept waiting for you to go, I'm tired of hearing you, bitch. I'm hanging up.
Well, I think knowing that I had that option in my back pocket is what kept me there. It was like, all right, we can do this.
Like, you know, if it starts to get a little bit worse, I'm going to go ahead and just fucking hang up on him.
Yeah, that's basically it. Man, all right. So, do you have anything else that you would like to touch on before we wrap up this episode?
I just got a sign. You know, my wife just held up a sign that said she's actually been working harder now than she does when she's actually in school. And so she really hasn't had the time to read. So you probably passed her at least over the last 4 weeks.
What? Oh, let's write this down somewhere. I need that in writing, because I'm never going to beat Tyra at reading. And if this is the only way I can do it, I'm going to take advantage of that shit. I'm going to count it.
So, yeah, she said she's actually not even been able to read a book, because a lot of times she listens to them. So, you've got quite a lead on her, at least over the last 4 weeks.
I'll take it. All right, guys. Well, I think that was good. I think we got some good news out there. We got to inform you all on some of the stuff we've been doing. Hopefully, some of you guys are interested in taking advantage of some of these virtual runs, and you can get out there and join with us. Tweet us if you're out there, your running miles, what you're doing for exercise, and we'll share it, we'll retweet it, we'll get it out there. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please follow us on brainturds.podomatic.com. We're also on Twitter. We are at turdsbrain. Again, I didn't come up with that name. They gave it to us. We're not very social media professional. So you get what you get. We're also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Player FM, and Podcast Addict. If Mark can do it, you can do it. So get on there, subscribe, and follow us.
I just got one more thing to say. I got another sign that says, "You suck, Justin, LOL," from my wife.
That's perfect. That's the perfect way to wrap that one up.
Everybody take it easy.